sure to learn a little Torah, especially with the rest of the world. Not the rest of the world, but a lot of the world has the custom to not learn Torah tonight. And there's what to rely on as well, but, you know, a contract is a contract, a word is a word. And it's a real pleasure for me to be able to come and be able to learn and grow together. So I actually before we get to the sources, I actually have a great story just to start off with. We had the tremendous privilege of having the Rosh Yeshiva University, Rav Herschel Schechter, Rosh Yeshiva, the famous student of Rabbi Soloveitchik in Boca for Shabbos, and I got to spend a little time with him on Friday, driving him back and forth. And so what happened was we brought him to my school to speak to the kids. And after, like, if you don't put food in front of him, he'll go the entire day without eating. Like, unless you say, like, Rebbe, maybe you can eat something. Yeah, just his head is not by his next meal, like myself. So I texted. I'm friendly with his son in New York. His name is Rabbi Shai Schechter. He's a rabbi in Woodmere, New York. And there's some more copies here in the front if anyone needs. So I texted him. I said, "What does your father like to eat?" He says he likes to eat these soy silk yogurts, very chashuva yogurts, Publix. And I know that he likes tea, so we got to sit down. He went for the vanilla over the strawberry. I remember that for next year. And then he looks at the tea bag, and he says, "Oh, what's the flavor? Chamomile." And he puts it down. So I said, "Okay, maybe he doesn't like chamomile, whatever." So he eats the yogurt. We were schmoozing, whatever. And I'm about to drive him back to the circle where he was gonna get picked up for his next speaking gig, as they say. And he said, "Bereinu Fashas Tebracha Achrona." And he looked at the tea and he said, "Do you mind just to get the tea? Take the tea with you, because I don't want to offend the person who brought me the tea. I don't want them to feel bad, because at the end of the day, just because I don't like chamomile, I don't want them to feel bad that they brought me the tea." And like I was just like, "What? Okay, no problem." Like, it was just such an inspiring moment for me, because someone who's so great, the amount of Torah knowledge and the amount of Talmidim students that he's inspired throughout the entire universe. I'm talking about decades and decades of being in Yeshiva University, and he's so careful about this one little thing, this tea bag, I thought to be super, super inspiring. And that's really the opening message about of tonight's topic, is lessons and messages from Moshe Rabbeinu's unique leadership. Part of being a leader is being a leader in the small things. It's not just being a leader when, you know, in the public eye, but also when even in the minor and even in the small details. So we're going to go through some sources and try to see different messages about this topic, and hopefully we'll get a greater perspective of who Moshe Rabbeinu actually was. So go to page one. Page one is a biography they put out from the Lubavitch Rebbe a few years ago, from Dr. Joseph Tolushkin. great biography. I highly recommend it. Usually, I said last week, usually I don't like biographies because they make me feel bad about myself. But there are a few of them that are just like incredible. So Dr. Joseph Tolushkin, who is not a Chabadnik, so he gives his own perspective of the Rebbe. Usually, you know, with Chabadniks, they're a little more, you know, they're a little more. Of course, they're going to write beautiful things of the Rebbe. But at the end of the day, he's not a Chabadnik, and he's mamish gushing. I have very strong connections to the Rebbe. Maybe for after this year. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he says an incredible thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is chosen. Why is he chosen? So a journalist came to the Lubavitch Rebbe and he said, "I have a question for you, Rebbe." He said, if you look in the middle of the page. He says, "You're a journalist, so if you like, you can interview me." The Rebbe rarely granted interviews, but Jacobson was taken aback. He asked, "One of the questions people are always asking is why the Rebbe takes on causes that seemingly are impossible, or that no one else is touching on." Right? People, you have a Chabad house literally everywhere in the world. Why is Chabad, why is Lubavitch, why are you so obsessed with doing really crazy things that no one else is doing? So he quotes a pasuk in this week's Parsha. We know the story about Moshe's heroism. Moshe's story: he goes out of the palace, and right, he's brought up in the house of Paro, and he goes out and says, "Vayigdal Moshe." And what happens? He sees there's a Jew being hit, hit by an Egyptian. So let's read it inside. Instead of responding directly, the Rebbe turned to an episode in the Torah. He's answering back now this Gershon Jacobson, a journalist. The first story the Torah tells us about Moshe's heroism was when he went out of Paro's palace and he saw an Egyptian hitting a Jewish slave. The Torah then adds on a very odd phrase. He looked this way and he looked that way. And he saw that there was no man about. And he struck down the Egyptian. The Rebbe then asked, why does the Torah feel so important for us to know that Moshe was being so cautious? What it was like, he was playing like, usually, you know, my 5-year-old, she looks this way, she looks that way, and then she grabs the gum. Like, Moshe Rabbeinu is not a 5-year-old. Like, what's going on over here? So he says, some commentaries say, because he didn't want anyone to see what he was doing, that he's about to kill the Egyptian. Maybe he was saving his own skin, and the fact is, his act was seen. We know later on, Dasan and Aviram did see, right? They said to him, are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian? Rather, the Rebbe suggested so beautifully. What happened was this. Moshe saw that a Jew was being hurt. He looked around to see if anyone cared. Instead, he said that there was no man. As Rashi says on that pasuk, Achei noda hadavar. Now the matter is known to me. I know the matter is known that the Jews aren't caring for each other. Now I know why you're in Gullus. Now I know why you're 210 years of exile. He saw there was no man, no one was standing up. Turning over to page 2. And protesting. When no one else is doing something, Moshe comes and does what he has to do. At this point, the Rebbe stopped. Simon Jacobson remembers his father telling him, my father understood exactly what he was saying. The causes I take upon myself are because I see that no one else is taking them upon themselves. They're ignoring it. That's precisely why I become involved. Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate leader because he cared for every individual. He didn't know he was in the palace. He could have turned the blind eye to this Jew being hit and could have went on his way. The same thing by the Babavitcher Rebbe. Could have just done his own thing. Crown Heights, finished. No, but he had a mission to send Jews throughout the world. When there's a Jew, there's a jewel. It's a gem. Every Jew is an opportunity. Every Jew is a privilege to connect to. And that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what a leader is. A leader is able to see the greatness in every detail, in every Jew, in every opportunity, in every perspective. And he says this even further. It says on the same pasuk on page number 3 from Rav Zalik Pliskin, we're going to be quoting a lot tonight. He has a great sefer where he connects every parsha to something to do with achdus. So literally, it can't, like, any type, you know, if you're talking about midos or achdus or unity, this Rav Zalik Pliskin, I highly, highly recommend it. It's beautiful. So the pasuk says, page 3, Vayhi bayam mahem vayid al Moshe, vayit el ocha vayar besevlos vayar ish misrin maki ish ivi meachav. Right? We just quoted that same pasuk. He went outside the palace, he sees the Jew being hit, and he kills the Egyptian. Parenthetically, there's a beautiful idea that my wife likes to tell. My wife told me, I don't know who says this. Whenever you're not sure of someone who says something, you either quote the Svarim HaKadoshim, or you quote a Chazal, so we're going to quote the Svarim. What does this mean, he looked this way and he looked that way? He looked this way and he looked that way and he saw a Jew and an Egyptian. But it doesn't mean that he actually saw a physical Jew and Egyptian, but he saw it within himself. He had this dichotomy, he had this problem. Am I an Egyptian or am I Jew? Am I an American or Jew? Am I Jewish-American or am I an American-Jew? So not really the topic for tonight, but whenever I get to this pasuk, I always think, like, are you Jewish-American or you American-Jew? Are you a modern Orthodox Jew? What comes first, modern or Orthodox? Not for now, good thing to be able to maybe bring up at the Shabbos table. Not in front of, if your wife gets upset about it, then maybe not, don't bring it up. Just talking from experience. So then Rashi quotes the Medrash, that Moshe set his eye in his heart to be grieved for his brothers. Right? It wasn't just something that he saw. It's something that it really connected to him. This is the first instance of the Torah about Moshe. The Jewish people were enslaved in Egypt, and Moshe adopted by the daughter of Paro. He could have just chilled in the palace and called it a day. But says of Simcha Zissel, no. Simcha Zissel says that Moshe's greatness was that he could have had everything. He could have had everything, and he threw it all away. Because what happened? Ended up being that he had to run away. He had to run away for his life. All because he cared about that one Jew being hit. All because he couldn't handle it. It's very easy to be good to others when they're good to us, or it's very good to be good to others when we have a gain involved. But says Rav Simcha Zissel, who's going to be the one who's going to put their own destiny or their own pleasure out just to be able to make sure to do the right thing? The fourth line down, page 4. He did not merely feel sympathy for their plight and then forget them. He intentionally went out of his way to feel the pain of the suffering to the degree that he could feel his own. This, says the Midrash, was what merited Moshe the right to the leadership of the Jewish people and to be chosen as the emissary who would receive the Torah at Har Sinai. Moshe cared about each individual. When he saw that one of his brethren was in mortal danger, he risked his own life and gave up his privileged status as a member of the royal family to save him. Right, so I'm not going to get all halachic. You know, sometimes you get halachic and say, if your life's in danger and your friend's life in danger, you know, the Gemara tells us that your life comes first. This is not a Gemara, not halachish here. This is more just of a machshava, a Jewish thought here. But Moshe Rabbeinu had everything. He had everything, but he risked it. And he threw it all away because at the end of the day, for him, he saw that another Jew was in pain, and that was his own pain. Someone else's pain is his own pain. And we see when we turn on the news, God forbid in Eretz Yisrael, we see what's going on throughout the world, or Pittsburgh, New York, whatever. Even here in Florida, when we hear something, it's not something that it's happening to someone else. It's happening to us. It's happening to our family. You say story, there's a very, very famous story of Ari Levine, the Magid of Yerushalayim. It's tremendous. Tremendous stories about him. So he used to visit the Jewish prisons in Yerushalayim every Shabbos. Incredible tzaddik. So they say story that him that his wife hurt her foot, and they went into the doctor's office. You know, as a good husband goes with his wife to the doctor's office, and he said, "Excuse me, doctor, my wife's foot hurts us. My wife's foot hurts us. So whenever my wife's not feeling well." And she knows the story. I try to say, oh, my wife's name's Rachel. I say, Rachel, your stomach's not feeling well for us. And she goes, you're such a loser. Because like you're trying to say it, but like you don't actually mean it. I was like, I know, but I'm trying to mean it. I'm really, really trying to mean it. That's Ravari Levine, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Lubavitch Rebbe. To care about every single individual, and that their pain is your pain. And that their simcha is your simcha. I know for my wife's mother, my mother-in-law, literally when she goes to someone else's wedding, you think it's her own daughter getting married. And when she hears something about something going on in Eretz Yisrael, when she heard about Pittsburgh, it was like her own children. It's otherworldly. It's not the norm. But if someone has a real true heart and really connected to all of Klal Yisrael, you realize that we're all one family. Moshe Rabbeinu continues this theme throughout the parsha. If you go to page five. Actually, let's go to the bottom of page 6. The bottom of page 6 actually quotes the pasuk. So we know Moshe runs away. Moshe hayaroa eson yisro chosno koy midra mahina miyinog es eson acher amidbar. So Moshe runs away. He meets right Zipporah. They have this whole story with Zipporah. This happens, and Moshe saves Zipporah from the other shepherds. She goes home. Yisro says, honey, why are you home so early? Why don't you at least bring the guy home for some food? So he gets married to Zipporah. What happens on this pasuk? The Medrash says that Moshe, that he had one of his sheep that ran into the desert, and he starts running after him. Now back over to page 5. I apologize for that. Let's see why in a second why I did it like that. So ask the Rebbe of Skrinovich. Skrinovich, I believe, comes from Sanz. The sefer is called a Chassidus Shavort. The sefer is called a Chassidus Shavort, which means like a Hasidic teaching. I got it in Yerushalayim. It's a beautiful sefer. So he asks a crazy question. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu left the entire flock for one little lamb? That's what the Medrash says. One little lamb ran off. He left everyone just to get that little lamb that went away. They're lying down. From the top. He left everything just for that one little lamb. And says the Rebbe Skrinovich, yeah, exactly, that's exactly your point. Yadua. Yada Moshe Rabbeinu kikasher adra b'shlemus lo yana lo kol ra. He says that at the end of the day, when Moshe Rabbeinu knew that when the flock is complete, nothing can touch them. Nothing can hurt them. What happens when one lamb goes away? When one Jew goes away, when Jew feels slighted, the whole thing is out. But when one sheep, and it might just look like to the naked eye, it's only one lamb. Quantitatively, it might look like it's okay, 30 to 1. No, but that one is nothing. Is nothing without that one. The 30 is nothing without that one. Meaning, the same idea. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that every little thing was so super important. Every animal is important, and every Jew is important. To make sure that they believe, that they understand. That's what a true leader is. A leader sees the godless in everything. In everyone and everything. He sees the greatness in everything and everyone. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu. They say a story from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, great rabbi in Yerushalayim. Shlomo Zalman used to have a custom to give out money before Yontif to widows and to widowers. He would give them money for Yontif. What happened was, it was a terrible story that what happened, a young husband passed away, and he left like four or five kids, and it was mamash a tragedy in Yerushalayim. So he had his son, before Yontif, he built to knock on the door and bring over some money. And that Pesach, he had him bring over two envelopes. The first envelope was the money. The second envelope, the son asked for Shlomo Zalman. He said, "Dad, Tati Abba, we already brought an envelope to this address. Why are we doing it?" He's like, "No, don't worry. It's going to be okay." I guess I'm not sure exactly what happened, but the son looked inside the envelope, and it turns out it wasn't money. The second envelope was tickets to the zoo in Yerushalayim. And he asked Shlomo Zalman after. He said, "What's pshat? Why don't you just give him more money?" He said, "You know, it's very easy to give money. It's very easy to give, sign a check, call it a day. But you know, these kids, you know, Chol Moed is a big time in the Jewish world. Go to the different amusement parks. Kids always talk about what you do on Chol Moed, what you do over Pesach, what you do on Sukkot, what you do on the weekend." He said, "I want these kids to know that at least that they have something set. So at least now their mother doesn't have to worry about what they're going to do. At least they have an activity." That is a Moshe Rabbeinu. That is a Lubavitch Rebbe. That is a Rabbi Aryeh Levine. And that is a Shlomo Zalman. Talking about the greatness of their minds, the greatest tzaddikim. But they're so great because of their midos, because of their ben adam l'chavero, because of how they treat each other, because of what they represent. Right, as we say in the Mishnah, it says in Pirkei Avos, "It mein derech eretz ein Torah." If you don't have derech eretz, if you don't have midos, then all the Torah could be for naught. I remember I have a lot of rebbeim, and I learned a little Torah in high school. But the rebbeim that I'm the closest to are the ones that care the most for me. I remember in junior year, I'm still a Ranger fan, but then I was a very big New York Rangers fan. I'm not sure if anyone of the Floridians know about hockey. It's not a hockey didn't make it down to Florida. So at least I don't think so. The Panthers, okay, they made it to the Stanley Cup a couple years ago. So
not the same
as going to Madison Square Garden, feeling the kedusha of the crowd. Oh, Amish Gvaldik. Kosher stand. Oh, I used to get marv's there after the second period. People used to pass by and say, "Pray for us." Oh, it was great. Hey, like 40, 50 people out of marv. It was fantastic. So my Rebbe, so we got out of school in Windmere, New York at 6 o'clock. Game started at 7. You had to take the train in. There was a 5:22 train and a 6:22 train. And my Rebbe said, my Rebbe knew that if we took the 6:22 train, we'd get into the city around 7:20, 7:30. We basically missed the first period. So my Rebbe, literally, he told me every time I wanted to go, I said, "You have full permission to leave school without signing out." I'm not sure how that would fly nowadays. And be able to go get a ride to Windmere Station, to Penn Station, be able to go watch the game. I'm telling you right now, I speak to him once a week, and I'm 10 years out of high school. It's not only because of that, but it's a lot because of that. Because he understood me at the time. He understood that it was more important for me to sit there in halacha class than to go to the Ranger, to be on time for the Ranger game. I'm not sure if that every rabbi would do that, but at least for me, that's something that I felt, he understood me, he connected to me. He understood that. I didn't do it once a week. It was like, I don't know, let's say there were 41 home games. I was at half of those games, which is a lot of games. All right, it was 20 games. They didn't win a lot of the year, but we tried our best. He understood me. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. So how did he become Moshe Rabbeinu? So the pasuk says, just a little early on the parsha, on page 6. Now going back to page 6, it says, "Vayira Moshe, Vayomar Achi Noda Adover." Right? So Moshe, now, just stepping back for a second, before he goes back to Yisro, we're flipping back to his pre-running away. Now, he's still back in Mitzrayim. It says, what does this mean, he knows? So Rashi says, he knows the reason why they're in Gullus, because they don't know how to treat each other, right? Dasan Avirim said, "You're going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian." So he says, "Achin no da davar." So the simple explanation is that "Achin no da davar." Now I know that the word is out that I killed the Egyptian, but Rashi says, "No, the word is out that I know. Now I know why they're in such a gullus." So it says the Kotzker, a beautiful idea. He says, "You're going to tell me after 210 years nobody saw what Moshe saw? They didn't see that the Jews didn't get along with each other? Why only Moshe Rabbeinu? No one else saw?" So he quotes the Sfas Emes in the fourth paragraph. It says from the Svasemech, Hakin Hishiv at Tzadik, Rabbi Yehuda Lehi Megir, and Basal Svasemech, the Ger Rebbe, that Kadosh Baruch Hu only shows the people who are going to be able to who deserve it. Shadav Kalamanik Marim, not Mishamayim Esachasronus, Kadesh Yeda Mahabahem, Heim Lokim Ma Yesh the Repam, Kadesh Yizkal Yigal Bimehera. That's exactly the point. Kadosh Baruch Hu only opened the eyes for the people who deserved it. Kadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for that one precious soul to be able to say, hey, at the end of the day, we don't treat people like that. We don't treat anyone like that. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's his entire life. If you go to page 7, that's what he does, even for a complete stranger, not only for his brothers in Mitzrayim, but he's even for a complete stranger. So the pasuk says, "Vayvo Aram vaygarshim," like we said before, that Tzipor is hanging out by the shepherds, and the shepherds are driving her nuts. Moshe stands up and saves her. Moshe puts everything on the line just to help a complete stranger. It doesn't matter who they are, if I'm going to get the press, if someone's going to film me on this. No. Someone's in help, says the Chacham HaMusar, or Simcha Zessel. I have to help them no matter what. And Chesed will always come back to be able to help. Chesed, you know, what goes around comes around. And this is what the Chavetz Chaim says on page 8. Page 8, the Chavetz Chaim says that at the end of the day, Moshe helped Tzipporah, right, by the well, and he ends up marrying her. And what ended up happening? Mitzvah Gores, Mitzvah. Chesed would always come back to help you. You're kind to someone else, it would always come back to help you. What happened on the way back to Egypt? You know, famously, that somehow the Satan or some evil spirit came over and they killed Moshe because he didn't perform the Bris Milah. And what happened? The pasuk says that Tzipor did the Bris. Tzipor, and Tzipor saved Moshe's life. And the Chavetz Chaim says here, we see here, Nir Mizeh, Ki Kol HaTov She'Adam Otsa L'Chaveru Mishtalem L'Basof. Such a powerful line. Ki Kol HaTov She'Adam Otsa L'Chaveru Mishtalem L'Basof. Whenever you do something good for someone else, it might not seem like right there you're going to get a reward or to be able to get it. But at the end of the day, it always comes back. Whether it be in this world, whether it be in the next world, what goes around comes around. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that you're going to act nicely to other people. I'll make sure to be able to help you as well. So obviously, and I can keep on going over and over and over again, but Moshe Rabbeinu, the number one quality that made him qualified to be able to be the leader that he was, to be Klai Yisrael, to be Moshe Rabbeinu, because he cared. He wasn't the best speaker. He even had a lisp. He wasn't the guy getting up at the Siyum HaShas, or the guy getting the best drush in the world. He was the one who cared. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the leader of my people is going to be someone who cares about everything. Every little thing and everyone. That is what a true leader. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the last thing, and then we're gonna move on from his midos. Moshe Rabbeinu, what was the number one impediment that he didn't want to go back? Was it because then he didn't think that he could lead? He knew he was humble. We're gonna get to that in a second, because he felt bad for Aaron. He said, "I have an older brother." Until Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe what? Until he said, "Moshe, Aaron wants you to come back." Then at the end of the day, Moshe was able to be. That was the last thing. If you go to page 9 and 10, that's exactly what Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel says. Kadosh Baruch Hu says on verse 14 in the bottom, when Aaron sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. Aaron will not merely pretend to be happy for his brother's greatness, but he will sincerely experience happiness. When he sees you coming back to lead the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, he's going to be really happy. Reminds me of an idea that I once heard from Rav Goldwicht, the Rosh Hashiva in KBY. Rav Goldwicht is a Rosh Hashiva now in YU, but his father or maybe his uncle, he says a beautiful idea on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Ezu Ashir, who is rich? Hasameach b'chalko. You're happy with what you have? That's someone who's rich. He says, no, you're reading the pasuk. That's one way to read it, but you have to read it a little differently. Ezu Ashir, who is rich? Hasameach b'chalko. You're happy with his portion. You're happy with someone else's portion. Someone else won the lottery? I'm happy that they won the lottery, which is a pretty extreme example. But someone else's kid got engaged? My kid's not engaged yet? Okay. That's Aaron HaKohen. Ezu Asher, you know what? Someone who's truly rich? When something else happens to someone else, and you're happy for them. You're happy that it happened to them. Like I tell my kids, my students all the time. Okay, you got a 95, but your friend got a 99? Don't say, oh, he did better than me. You should be happy for them. For an 8th grader, it's a pretty high level to achieve. But Maisa, that's the whole vort. Moshe's behavior on the bottom of page 9 was truly amazing. Moshe, who loved the Jewish people exceedingly, was willing to sacrifice his own comfort. Moving on to 10. in safety for the welfare, refused to be the one who would release Klal Yisrael from their misery. Why? Because Moshe was afraid that Aaron would feel slighted in being passed over for his great position of leadership. To spare his brother his pain, Moshe was willing to forego the greatest privilege possible to be the one who could save the nation. So at the end of the day, we see this misdemeanor over and over again in the whole parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that was chosen because of his great midos and his great care and sensitivity. And at the end of the day, that's in us. We're Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's our teacher. If there's one thing we can learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, it's about how we treat each other. First and foremost, is how we treat ourselves. You can't treat others if you don't treat yourself nicely first. Like Tzvah Semes has a beautiful idea, you have to love your friend like yourself. So love your friend like yourself, right? Every fourth grade kid knows that. Before loving others, first you have to love yourself. I'm married to a social worker, so I hear all about self-conscious, that the word self-conscious and self-confidence, it permeates the walls of my house. Before loving others, before caring for others, first a person has to feel good about themselves. You can talk to any psychologist, social worker, psychiatrist. If a person has positive thoughts about themselves, then they can have positive thoughts about others. But if a person has negative thoughts, it's very hard to have positive thoughts about other people as well. So the first and foremost thing before we do anything, if we want to become Moshe Rabbeinu, we also have to understand our greatness too. Not in an arrogant way, in a sincere way, that we're Kadosh Baruch Hu's children. We represent the Rabbeinu Shalom. The second really idea, we're not going to focus as much on it, but I thought it was truly just as important as well, is that Moshe Rabbeinu had this innate quality of purity. That at the end of the day, when he was a small child, he wouldn't nurse from anyone, right? It says that in the pasuk that the Bas Parah looked for everyone, and everyone he wouldn't nurse from anyone until they brought a Jewish nurse. So if you go on over here on page 11 is a great book I got from Gideon Weitzman. So he goes on the parsha based on teachings of Rav Kook. So for all the Chabadniks, and now we're going to get to the Zionists. We're going to try to get to a lot of the greatest minds of the past century. The middle paragraph. Yocheved's mother, Moshe's mother, placed him in a basket in the Nile in order to save him from the murderous decree of Paro to drown all the Jewish males. He was eventually found by Paro's daughter during a stroll on the banks of the river. Immediately, a discovery: Moshe's older sister Miriam appeared and informed Paro's daughter that she was willing to supply her with a wet nurse for his newfound baby. His appearance was, of course, planned, as she had laid in wait for her brother to be discovered. Gemara tells us that the reason she was able to offer her mother's services as Moshe's wet nurse was that Moshe's daughter took him to all available Egyptian ladies and still refused to nurse, as he was in line to speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even at a young age, Moshe Rabbeinu was so pure. He was so holy. At the end of the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, someone who's going to be so pure, so holy, that is the person I'm going to want. Going on to page 12. Moshe's humility in the middle of the page was legendary. Moshe was very humble, more than anyone on earth. Moshe anav mikol adam. Everything that he had, if he knew, it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see two new things now in this Rav Kook, and we're gonna go based off those two things as well. Moshe Rabbeinu had this innate ability that he wouldn't nurse even as a young baby. He wouldn't nurse from non-Jewish milk, and even though the halacha is, we're gonna see right now on page 13. The halacha is that if a Jewish baby only has non-Jewish milk and Jewish milk, the halacha is it's okay to drink for the baby to get non-Jewish milk. That's the halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu is so pure. So everyone's going to ask me the question, okay, all right, not all of us are Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have to try to pretend like someone we're not. So you go to page 13. This is literally one of my favorite pieces of Torah. Such an incredible, powerful insight to any parent, grandparent, teacher. So the Ramah quotes, the famous Ashkenazic Psak Halacha, he quotes in Yoredeya, he quotes this Halacha about Chalav Mitzras. He says that if you have Egyptian milk and not Jewish milk, it's better to use the Jewish milk, but if you only have Egyptian milk or not Jewish milk, it's okay. And the Gra says from the Rashba, what's the source that you should only use Jewish milk? The source is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu only nursed from Jewish women, so too also. Says Rav Yaakov, Shkoich for Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not all Moshe Rabbeinu. Whenever you see me writing or underlining a lot, it means I'm very excited about it. Sometimes my other underlines are very off, so I apologize for that. It shows that hopefully my kids or grandkids will see one day that I got excited by it. And as Hashem, if they open my svarim somehow, please God. So he says, we're not all Moshe Rabbeinus. So this is the halacha for all time, because Moshe Rabbeinu, thousands of years ago, didn't nurse from the Egyptians, and now our lives are going to be changed for that. Says an incredible insight. He says, it's a Musar Haskel, it's a message for us to know that each one of us and each one of our children have the potential to be our own Moshe Rabbeinu. Each one of us are not going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not Moshe Rabbeinu. But in ourselves, when we reach our potential, when we understand that we have the ability to reach our own potential, then we could be our own Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's just read it inside. The word is so beautiful. About 8 lines up. We learn a beautiful thing in education. A father must give his children, you should give them a pathway in a derech to be able to, they should speak to the Shechina. That everything he does with the child, even as a baby, be able to make sure that it's pure, that he has the ability to speak to the Shechina. This is a tremendous lesson when it comes to educating our children, our grandchildren, our kids, our students, to be able to make sure that everything we do for them will be in the same way of Moshe Rabbeinu. The same way that each one of our children is a little Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, qualitatively, the Rambam says no one's going to be, we're not going to have another Moshe Rabbeinu. It's just not going to happen. But each one of us have the ability to be our own Moshe Rabbeinu on our own level. Moshe Rabbeinu is not only just a person who cared, not only a person who is pure, but it was also his humility. That's what his defining mida. That's what he's known about. Such a beautiful insight, page 14, from Rabbi Benjamin Yunin. Benjamin Yunin is the senior rabbi in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Very, very famous person for a tremendous person of his Avos Yisrael. He's literally, I stayed in his house for Shabbos. If you go to his basement, it's literally just beds and beds of people who don't have anywhere to stay. Go for Shabbos. It's just to tell you a story about his wife. We went staying at his house for Shabbos, and my wife and his wife and the Rebbetzin were crossing the street. They were right across the street from the shul, and his wife takes my wife's hand. Like, we were like just married, 22, 23. My wife said, "It's okay, Rebbetzin, I could cross the street myself." So she turns back to my wife and she says, "What are you talking about? I hold all my children's hands." And I was like, "They just met like 20 minutes ago, like right before Shabbos." She said, What do you mean? I hold all my children's hands. Gadol, mamash. Incredible story. So he has like a radio show every Friday. So he put together a couple of his schmoozin into some books. So I highly recommend. It's actually called Gates of Happiness. Gates with Happiness. It's a beautiful book. You can find it online. So he quotes a great idea. He quotes the idea. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Miriam, right? Miriam. And we know famously in Sefer Bamidbar, she says Lashon Hara, that Moshe separated from his wife, from Sipora. Moshe davens for her, for Shlomo Kelner, Rafan Allah, please save my sister. So yes, why did Moshe Rabbeinu ever daven for himself? Moshe Rabbeinu had a lisp. We know he got that lisp, right? The famous Medrash, right? When Moshe was born, and the astrologer said that they, in this week's Parsha, that, you know, this kid, it's not looking good, you know. How do you know? He's going for a crown. We see that something's going on with this kid. So he said, okay, let's put a test. Let's put out the crown. Let's put out some coal. And if he goes for the crown, okay, then we'll kill him. So what happened was that his hand was going for the crown, and a malach came and pushed his hand and touched the hot coals, and then he touched his mouth, and that's how he developed his lisp. Says the Sefer Talmud B'Yadar, but Yudin quotes, why didn't he ever daven that his speech impediment should be cured the same way he davened by Miriam? So he says such a beautiful insight. He said he never davened to Hashem for that impediment to be cured, because he always wanted to remember the miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him. That if he davened to Hashem, that what? If he davened to Hashem that the lisp should be gone, it would take away from his akaris the tov, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him that night, that day in Paro's palace. Then he always wanted to have that memory. He always wanted to have that lisp to remember that everything that he has came from the Rabbeinu Shalom. And if he would have davened that the lisp had gone away, it would have made him forget. Let's just review and then end off with an article from Rav Soloveitchik and a quick story. We start off with the Lubavitch Rebbe, that they asked him, why does Chabad go over all the places in the entire world? The Rebbe said, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out of the palace, he looks this way, he looks that way, He saw there's no one there. He said, that's the same thing here for us. We look this way, look that way. There's no one stepping up to the plate. We got to do what we have to do. We said from Simcha Zissel of Kelm, he grew up with everything, but he still gave it up for even for one small Jew. It's the same idea from Rav Dov Ber of Skernovitz. Even when he was a shepherd, he had this whole idea because he realized, right? He left everything. He left all the sheep by themselves for that one little lamb that went out of his, that went off the derech, quote unquote, that went off the way, because he understood that if the unit's not complete, if you're missing one, and that's the Kutzker. The Kutzker said at the end of the day, why was Moshe Rabbeinu the only one to see? Because says this Hashemes Chodesh Baruch Hu handpicks the leader because they will know why they're being persecuted. Moshe Rabbeinu had the neshama to be able to see. He had the eyes to be able to see. Simcha Zissel, that everyone matters. It doesn't matter if you have your own issues. Simcha Zissel said everyone matters. Chesed will always come back to help you. The Chavetz Chaim, Moshe Rabbeinu helps Tzipora. Tzipora ends up helping him. And Nazan Tzvi finally tells us, end of the day, why didn't really Moshe Rabbeinu want to go back? Because he didn't want to slight his older brother. Talking about sibling rivalry, that really didn't make it into the Jewish DNA, since Jewish sibling rivalry. Hopefully, Bez Hashem, you know, I'm always floored when I see my students, you know, sometimes you go to their houses and just like, Pasha, don't fight. Like, I didn't grow up with that. I don't know, maybe someone could tell me what the secret is. Like, I always fought with my sister, but Moshe Rabbeinu's like, me? I'm not going to go before my older brother. And until Kadosh Baruch Hu convinces him, tells him, no, you're going to go, because he's going to be happy for you. Then he Dafka goes back. And Rav Kook talked about his purity. Rav Kook talked about his humility. And Rav Yaakov told us that at the end of the day, each one of us are on Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why Rabbi Yudin says that when you truly want to think someone, the Hakar Satov is forever, right? Thinking and being humble is really the same thing. When you thank someone, you're really just being a little humble. You're just trying to say that you couldn't do it without their help. Like they say a vort from Rav Huttner. I'm sorry, going a little off of here, but Rav Huttner says, how do you say thinks in Hebrew? It's modim. And he say admit in Hebrew to be modeh. A modeh. So he says, when you thank someone, you're admitting to them that you couldn't do it without them. When Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to take away that lisp, because he wanted to tell the Baruch Shem, ani modeh. I admit I can't do anything without you. That's humility. Someone who's really, truly humble is always thinking someone else. He's always thinking someone. And those are the defining qualities. The defining qualities of caring, sensitivity, kindness, is humility, and is purity. So Rabbi Soloveitchik in 1974 has a beautiful drasha here, three pages. We're not going to go through it all because just for time's sake. But Rav Reli just says this is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu saw by the burning bush. He sees by the burning bush. He saw something much much deeper. On the page top of page 16, Hamara Agadol Zemadul Lo Yivar Hasne. Right, he says, why is the bush not being consumed? Lo Yivar Hasne cannot be. So he says the bush cannot be interpreted as consumed. He goes into this whole Hebrew language. We're not going to get into all of it, but basically, he says that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the bush not burning, he saw something truly incredible. He saw that at the end of the day, no matter what, the Jews are going to be in pain, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to be with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to be there. Let's just read it, because the words are so beautifully. Symbolically, the first aspect shows us that the conventional community is indestructible. We all know about everybody who studies it interprets in terms of the indestructibility of the Jew. No matter how difficult some circumstances are, no matter how great the suffering is. Yes. So it means the existence of the convent, I don't even know what that word is, community. Well, another term in it. Sometimes Rabbi Soloveitchik's English is harder than the Hebrew. The pen of the desert plan will never be consumed by the fire, for the people are an eternal people. We still believe in that. For if we believe in it, we wouldn't do what we are doing now, to build schools, to change the way life of the American Jew, to make him commit himself to our conventional, I know, tradition, that's not the word, okay? And our not sure what that word is either. Simply, this is the will. You tell what I got on my SATs. Simply, this is the will to live on the part of the Jew, the implicit faith that somehow we are an internal people. In quotes on the bottom, he says, if an Orthodox Jew would, God forbid, say, Moshe Rabbeinu would say, oh, he's a reformed Jew, he's a conservative Jew, he's a Jew who wears a kippah strugah, he drives the shul on Shabbat. No, it's not the way of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu saw within this bush somehow that every Jew matters, that the Rabbeinu Shem cares about everything and everyone. No matter what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always be there to be able to help us. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about everyone, how much more so should we care about for everyone? And these are, I believe, the three defining qualities of Moshe Rabbeinu: the care, the humility, and the purity. Just to end up with a story, as you said for last week, Rabbi Nachman says, the non-Jews, you know, tonight's a big non-Jewish night. The non-Jews put their kids to sleep as stories, but the Jews keep their kids alive as stories. So Rav Shlomo Kadlach likes to say this story. The story goes is that Rav Yitzchak of Vorko was a great Hasidic rabbi. He had a best friend known as the Kutzker Rebbe. And they made a pact. Whoever dies first would come and tell the other person, the friend, what it's like in Olam Haba. Whatever that means, they're on that level. So what happened was that Rav Yitzchak of Vorko passed away first. Rav Yitzchak of Vorko was known for his tremendous, obviously, so tremendous tzaddik, but his love for other Jews was really out of this world. So a few days go by, and the Kutzker is waiting for his friend to come to him in a dream and whatever, and he's not coming to him. So he goes over to Rav Yitzchak Vorka's son, and he says, your father's not coming to me, so I decided I'm going to go to him. Again, whatever that means. The message is what's important. So what happened was, the Kutzker goes to Shemayim, and he goes to the base midrash of Avraham Avinu. He says, Nu, have you seen my friend Rav Yitzchak Vorka? He says, yeah, he was here, but he just left. He goes to the base midrash of Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Yosef, all the Gaonim, all the Tanoim. And finally, he sees like a little light by a river. And he sees that Rav Yitzchak Vorka standing by this river. And he asks him, Nu, what's going on? You said you were going to come to me in a dream. You told me you were going to tell me what Olam Haba is. I had to come to you. What's going on here? So Rav Yitzchak Vorka says, you see this body of water? He says, yeah. He says, this body of water is the ocean. It's not a regular ocean. This ocean, it's an ocean of tears. It's an ocean of tears, of all the tears of Klal Yisrael's history. The tears of the pogroms, the tears of the war, the tears of the Holocaust, the tears of Eretz Yisrael. And I told the Rebbein Shem, and I told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I made a promise that I wouldn't leave this ocean until it's all dried up. Until all the tears are washed away. And that's truly the lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu. The lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu is the lesson of Eretz Yisrael. It's one of care, of concern, and sensitivity. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us. The more we unite with each other, the more we become our own little Moshe Rabbeinus, the more we're a little more humble with ourselves, with our family and our friends, the more we care for ourselves first. We want to care for others first, we have to care for ourselves. Then we could be our own Moshe Rabbeinu. Please God, we should take these lessons and messages of Moshe Rabbeinu into our own daily lives to become better Jews, better human beings, better husbands, wives, better children. Be'ezus Hashem, we'll be zoch to be able to greet Moshe Rabbeinu soon in Yerushalayim and tell him that we learn from his ways. Be'ezus Hashem. Shkoach.
Thank you very much. If anybody has any questions,